We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. A sense of place is always important, not only for the Christian life, but to all of our lives as well. A sense of place is always important for all of us. We often associated places with the memories of the past, both pleasant and unpleasant. And by God's grace, we move on and we continue to live the life that God has given us. We know, for example, that Bethlehem is the place of birth for Jesus. Jericho is the oldest city in the world, and it still remains a vibrant city up to this day. And we know that Jericho is also the context, isn't it? With one of the famous parables of Jesus, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Bethel was the site where Jacob stopped when he was running away from his brother Esau. And it was the place where he gathered some stones and he used the stones for his pillow, and he stayed there for the night. And we know that this place is also the place where he experienced a dream of a ladder with angels going up and down. And in the scripture, it is the connection between heaven and earth. And so when he woke up, he anointed the place, he anointed the stone, and he said, "This is God's house. This is Bethel. This is the place where I have experienced God." And when you think about it, Emmaus, it didn't even register in the minds of the gospel writer except the gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus could have used some of the trusted pathways, isn't it? You know, Jesus could have encountered the disciples in Jericho. You know, that sounds like a good biblical setting. Or in Bethel, or in Bethlehem. You know, it's kind of like going back to the very beginning. But instead, according to the scripture, he appeared before two strangers on the road to Emmaus. And so the scripture says that the eyes of the disciples were kept. You know, were kept. It means it was the presence of Jesus was hidden to the disciples, and they kept from recognizing that it was indeed the risen Christ. And it's interesting, when we look at the scripture, Jesus said, "You are not seeing a ghost. You are not seeing an apparition. You are not seeing a figment of your imagination, but the real Jesus. Come and touch me in the flesh." In 1 Corinthians 15, it stated that Jesus appeared to about 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time. Then he appeared to Cephas, which is also called Peter, to James, and then to all the disciples. But, you know, the scripture, especially St. Paul, did not mention this particular dusty road that leads to this small town called Emmaus. Jesus was busy. We know from reading the scripture, talking about the good news and sharing about the faith and looking for faith in all places. If we follow the sequence of events, Jesus appeared to these two strangers, and later on, he was known in the breaking of the bread. I love the scripture. It says, "Were not our own hearts burning when he broke the bread and he explained the scriptures to all of us?" And then all of a sudden, Jesus stood among the disciples and he offered grace and peace. "Peace be with you. I am here. Look at me. I am indeed the resurrection and I am the life." It's interesting to note that in the Gospel of Luke, it was not in a locked room. You know, they were somewhere else. It was not in a locked room. They were not afraid, but they were in a certain place. And they were there to bear witness to what they have received from the very beginning. So I think it was really an act of gratitude that was a defining moment for the disciples. You know, doubt is not really a defining moment for the disciples in this particular instance, but rather it is gratitude, a sense of giving thanks to God for what God has been doing. And so the disciples offered Jesus something to eat, but you know, they offered something to eat only upon the request of Jesus, because they really weren't sure whether this Jesus is real or not. It is also interesting to note that in all of the appearances stories, it seems to me that the disciples encountered Jesus in a different setting, in a variety of settings, away from Jerusalem. One of the favorite passages that I like is from the book of John, wherein Jesus appeared and he saw the disciples. And he asked them, well, do you have any fish? And the disciples said, no, we don't have anything. And Jesus said, why don't you throw your nets on the other side? And when they did, they were able to catch some fish, but they did not recognize that it was Jesus himself. And then when they got off the boat, there was already charcoal, you know, ready to cook the fish. But actually, according to the scripture, Jesus was there waiting for the disciples, and the fish was there ready to eat. Now, I don't know where Jesus got the fish. The scripture didn't tell us, you know, how Jesus acquired the charcoals. But some of these questions are really a matter of our own faith, of our own understanding. You see, if we stay with hope, the faith that sustained us from the very beginning of our experience with Jesus will remain with us all day through. It is no longer what I am doing for God that matters, but rather God is doing something for me. It is no longer that I am drawn by a sense of curiosity about God, but rather God is drawn towards us because of God's love for all of us. And there are times when we come to worship, there are times when people ask, well, what is it in worship? Is there something that I can feel in worship? Is there something that I can touch in worship? Is there something that I can hear in worship so that, you know, I can pass it on to other people that I meet? But you see, Jesus was not interested whether we feel or whether we hear or whether we see. Jesus, in the scripture that we have today, is more interested in finding out where is faith in the life of the disciples. It is interesting to note in this Emmaus story that Cleopas, one is not named, but the other one is named, started to lecture Jesus on the road. You know, in that sequence of events, Cleopas said, are you the only one in Jerusalem who have not heard about what happened, about the death of Jesus Christ on Golgotha 3 days ago? Because you see, the idea of crucifixion, the idea of suffering for Jesus Christ on the hands of the Roman authorities was really intended to create a painful and yet lasting memory. Can you imagine, you know, the scene where Jesus was crucified? People going into Jerusalem, they will see it. People on their way out will also see it. It was a chilling message even on that early morning road to Emmaus. But here is the dividing line. Because most of the disciples, if not all of the disciples, want something to give to God. But instead, they discovered it is God who wants something to give to all of them. And that is why Jesus was looking for faith in their own lives. The Gospel of Luke tells us that the previously unmet and otherwise unknown travelers were talking and were discussing about the events that happened during that day. Jesus was not looking for experts, because there were many experts. According to the scripture, experts of the law, experts of the tradition. Jesus was looking for a different kind of faith, a faith that is sustained by hope. The language also implies that they were not only talking, but they were examining the pieces of evidence together. You know, when they said our hearts was burning with desire, or our hearts were burning because Jesus explained the scripture to us, they started to piece what the scripture is all about. In verse 21, it reads, "But we had hope that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." We had hope. You know, that's past tense, isn't it? We had hope. Bible scholars tell us that the word hope used here indicates that the action flows from the past. Well, is this action still going on? Or were the efforts, despite repeated attempts, finally abandoned, that there is no more hope for the people of Israel? But the events of the last few days brought a dramatic end to that habit of hoping. You know, the disciples were looking at the past, but Jesus was instead looking towards the future. So what do we do when hope does not line up with reality? So what do we do when the events that we experience, the hope that we cling to, does not line up with our own sense of reality? It is easy to give up. A lot of people can easily give up today and find another way to respond. It is easy to look somewhere else for answers. And the world today will give you a recipe for everything, right? To have a meaningful spiritual life filled with wonderful stories. But what if it doesn't line up with your own particular reality? We know that hope is fragile, and we must always tend to our sense of hope with a lot of care and prayer. But here's the good news. God finds us where we are. We like to offer future tenses, especially pastors. We like it when we can offer some sense of assurance that everything will be okay. We like it, especially pastors, when we quote the scripture saying, "Oh, there is that joy that comes in the morning for people who are dealing with complicated grief." Because hope is our best currency today. Hope is our best chance to experience the love of God in our own hearts. But Jesus was not dismissing grief when he calls them, "You are foolish and you are slow to believe." And the end of the scripture ends with joy and excitement. And it says, Jesus was known. Death and resurrection are deeply rooted in the scripture. But Jesus changed that feeble, tangible hope, temporary hope, to a living hope in Christ alone. And in response, what did they offer? They offered bread and hospitality. And they felt that their hearts was burning as Jesus spoke the scripture. Jesus turned things around and used this occasion to talk about God in our presence. This hope in the scripture cannot be extinguished. And finally, Jesus said, "You are my witnesses," not for the ending of the world. "You are my witnesses to the ends of the world." So stay with hope, according to the scripture, because this is the direction where God is leading the church for such a time like this. So each week when we gather for worship, we actually reenact the reality. We reenact the reality that we are blessed, that we are sent forward because of this hope that these two disciples received and this hope that God has given to all of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.